Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com, and you can go to our website and download these programs for free and get some goodies there, some books, the Concordant Version and the Concordant Commentary on the New Testament. Great study tools. They will save you a lot of money in fees for college, seminary, and so forth. But anyway, we hope you get a copy of these. We also have another web address. It's paulsevangel.com, just in case it's too hard for you to remember Cross and Throne. But paulsevangel.com, they're two different addresses for the same location. Our mailing address, if you want to keep this program on the air, please consider supporting us either on the web electronically, or you can send some help to Cross and Throne Ministries at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. And my guest today, once again, is Mr. Martin Zender, where he's back for another go at it. How you doing, Martin?
I couldn't wait to get back and fight the traffic again getting up here. So I appreciate the invitation. It's good to be back with everybody.
Well, we are discussing this time another one of your books. For those of you who were listening last time, we were talking about freedom from sin. We did some teaching, and we made some reference to Martin's book on how to be free from sin while smoking a cigarette. Now, we do have that available at our website, and you can also go to martinzender.com and get it as well. So, by the way, go to Martin's site and sign up for his newsletter.
Yeah, I write a newsletter every week called The Clanging Gong News, entertaining and educational, and it gets right to the point because that's the only way I can grasp things. I have to get right to the kernel of a thing. So you can get that at martinzender.com. Sign up. It is free.
Yes. Well, good. Today we're going to talk about church.
We are. Why aren't you at church?
Well, I'm at church because I'm sleeping in on Sundays. That's why. We are here to talk a little bit today about Martin's book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. We live in an era, the Bible calls it subsequent eras, when many are going to be departing from the faith. And yet, we see church buildings and steeples from corner to corner. And I was down in the South recently, and I was amazed at how many churches there were. And yet, we're living in a day where there's absolute ignorance regarding the Scriptures, God's purposes, and even the basic teachings of justification are all mixed with law and ceremony and religiousness. And tell us why you wrote this book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God.
I think because people assume that they cannot know God unless they are in an institution. They have to be part of a group in a building, a physical place. And God is so tied with the institution that people think they can't get him without the institution. And I find that the institution, rather than helping people know God, actually serve. This is going to be a strong statement, to take them away from a knowledge of God. Because truth, if you look in the Scriptures at the precedent, truth is never institutionalized. You will always find truth outside whatever is going on in the mainstream institution. It was that way in Jesus' day. And people think we're living in a different era now. Well, we are, but some things never change. Namely, that as soon as a body or a group of people builds a basement, establishes an institution, it loses the truth. And in Jesus' day, where did people find truth? Did they find it in the temple? No, in the temple they found the people who were antagonistic to the truth. They found a priesthood that was looking for Messiah and yet crucified him when he came. They were blind and hypocritical. And the people in those days, they followed him outside. Our Lord did some of his greatest works outside the walls of Jerusalem, in the hills, by the Sea of Galilee, on the mountainside. That is where people found truth. They had a living, vital relationship with the Savior of the world. And our Lord himself, where did he go to pray? Well, he fulfilled the law, so he did go to Jerusalem, observe the feast, but true fellowship with his God and Father were in those remote locations. He went to the mountains to pray. Nothing has changed, folks. Nothing has changed. God is still a freelance God. He's a God of your heart and your spirit, and you can worship him anywhere at any time. To say that you reserve a one day to worship God is to really defy the fact that we worship God all the time. His Spirit, Dan, now dwells in us. It wasn't that case in times past. Mm-hmm. God dwelt in the temple. There was a physical place where the Spirit of God was. That has changed. When our Lord died, that veil was rent in the temple, and now God and the Spirit of God comes in us. And where we go, that's where the church is.
So essentially, the modern church setup denies the truth regarding
it. Denies the truth.
Because, and it was funny, my son, when he was playing baseball, there was another fellow there with his son. You know what his title was?
What's that?
His title was worship director.
Yeah.
Now, I thought the Holy Spirit did that.
Yes, that's right. We talked about this last time I was here, when you have these revivals at 7 p.m., revival 7 p.m. How can you make the Spirit show up at 7 p.m.? It's like, what if the Spirit decides not to come? The whole concept that this is not going to happen until 7 p.m. is ridiculous. If we really have a living relationship with God, we have revival going on continuously because the Spirit of God dwells in you, 1 Corinthians. Ed.
It's funny, I find the revival meetings always have an offering plate. Did you ever notice that?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Well, the reason I bring this up, because a lot of people aren't going to like this program. Every time we talk about this, people say, well, I get benefit out of church.
Yes.
I like going to church.
Right.
And it's funny, usually the reason why, you know, especially in my recent conversations with people, it's all about their kids. They want a place for their kids to go so their kids can have a good time. And I don't know, something's wrong about that. I can't place my finger on it. Can you
elaborate? Yeah, here's what's wrong with it. Let's hand over my children to the government or to the institution or to somebody else. Parents, it is your responsibility to bring up your children in the ways of God. You cannot trust an institution or the government. Well, I mean, the government wants us to hand over our children earlier and earlier. We'll take care of everything. We know what your kids need better than you. And that is a falsehood.
And what makes it sad here, and for those of you listening in other countries, I'm not sure how it is there, but in the United States, for instance, the government is supposedly the people, right? So it's only it's a reflection of the people.
Yes.
So the people want somebody else always to do their work for them.
Right.
And it's kind of funny, what is going on in government is reflected in the church today.
Right, which is a bad... Whenever you see the church reflecting government, run! Run fast!
Yeah, so the point being is everything is about me, myself, and I, and parents want to shift the responsibility to some institution to teach their kids about God. And usually it's because, well, there are other people there and they get to hang out with other folk. And am I missing something?
No,
Don't children play with their children in their own neighborhoods? Why do we need an institution with a steeple on it to bring up our children better?
I got to say this. Remind me of the thing you just asked. I have to say this. People assume, they don't give themselves enough credit. Mothers, fathers, you don't give yourselves enough credit for being able to go to the scriptures yourself and discern truth. You're handing over your children to trained professionals who you think are going to do the best job in raising your children. And if you had lived in the days of our Lord, you would have been handing over your children to the Pharisees, to Caiaphas. Is that what you want to do? Hand over your children to Caiaphas? But he was the doctor of the day. The Pharisees were the doctors, and they were the ones who said, "We will tell you the truth. We will interpret for you when Messiah comes." And yet they were so far off base that they killed the very Messiah they were looking for thousands of years. And again, you cannot trust your children or your own spiritual well-being with, quote, trained professionals, unquote. If the words trained professionals in the arena of God and spirituality doesn't make you nervous, then I don't know. But I have a feeling that a lot of you have a spiritual sensitivity that you're not giving yourself credit for. I think you sense that something is wrong in the institution, something's not right. You need to follow your spiritual sensitivity. That's God. That's God telling you that truth cannot be institutionalized. And every time it happens, it stops being truth. It degenerates into false teachings. And the church today is infested with false teachings. Stay away from it.
And that's a hard statement. Now, when we say, and see, here's the other problem, and I think when people hear stay away from church, they're thinking that you're forsaking God.
That's, and therein lies the title of the book.
And that's why he wrote this book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Now, let me just say that you, if you really are upset about this, it's probably because you have a wrong conception of church.
Right.
You do not have a conception of church the way the Bible teaches it. And in the letters of the Apostle Paul, he calls the church, in the Concordant Version, it's the ecclesia, which is his body. And we find in the scriptures, we never see professional buildings with church steeples dedicated to the teaching and the gathering of believers. Where do we find it? In every instance, if it's not, it's always in somebody's home.
Or at the, in the outside by the river.
By the river. And why is that? Because they were, it was about the people themselves who had a common love for a common Savior with right teaching.
And I dare anybody to say you need anything more than that.
Yes. And the pastors didn't go around with a separate clothing. And what was a pastor in the first century in Paul's letters? Somebody among the brethren who loved them and had an ability that God gave them to teach and to help and so forth. Or evangelists who went out and told others the good news about the cross work of Christ.
Right.
But today, what have we done? We've institutionalized even that. Today, you can't even be recognized as a pastor in the institution without having gone to another institution.
Exactly. An institution to train you to run the institution.
Exactly. And so that is so far from the Bible that it's part of, I believe, the apostasy of the last days. Because once you set up an institution, once you do that, you've set up a monument which requires absolute allegiance.
Right.
And if you go beyond what the institution says, you are shown the door. And that's something we can get into a little later.
What's the first thing people ask you when you say, I'm a believer, I believe in Jesus Christ? What's the first question you get? What church do you go to? Where do you belong? What niche can we put you in? What box can we
associate you with? When you tell them, try to explain that, well, I'm a member of the body of Christ, and I meet with other fellow members as often as we can.
That's not good enough.
In our home, when we study the scriptures together, but no. If you don't have the incense and the high-paid clergyman, you are not.
Oh, we have to give the definition of church.
Go ahead.
You know the ecclesia, what it actually means? But we don't have time. We don't have time. We have to.
It means the outcall of God.
Yeah, but we got to get into that in detail.
All right.
We got to get into that in detail, but we got to do it tomorrow.
All right, we'll do that tomorrow.
We got to do it tomorrow.
All right, Martin's book is How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. You can get it at martinzender.com. Martinzender.com. And you should get this book, and it'll free you. This is Stan Sheridan. It's Cross and Throne Ministries, and our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. If you do want to help pay for the cost of the program, please consider doing it at that address, or you can go to their website. We are having a conference, Martin and I, here in the Chicagoland area, September 18th through the 20th. Again, September 18th through the 20th. Go to our website again to see the details. And we're also going to be in Amarillo, Texas on October 9th through 11th. There's going to be more details to come on that also on our website. But we hope to see you up here in Chicago in September. And it'll be a good time, and it'll be a very casual event, but very serious in the study of the Scriptures. So be prepared. And until next time, remember this: the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.